What power are you attracted to? What kind of people in power are you attracted to? What is it that is powerful that we should be attracted to as followers of Jesus? Is it a person in political power who can move the government a certain way that makes us feel good? Is it a ruler, someone that does things that says, that's the kind of person I want to follow? Or is it the kind of excitement that you get, like what I get, when you see the power that a pressure washer has when it's taken off the trash from the... Yeah. Some of you like it. Yeah, some of you clapped. Power is at work in and amongst our lives. Power is the struggle that we have in all ages of our lives. My name's Keith Arkham. I'm your lead pastor here at Palm Harbor, and we're in the final series, the final installment of our series, At the Movies. Everybody say, aw. Yeah, I know some of you are sad, and people on staff, they're not sad that I'm not going to talk about Star Wars anymore. But I love Star Wars, so I'm going to tell you the last one is Star Wars. And like last week, I talked about Star Wars being about love and about how much this whole series was about these three people, Han Solo, Princess Leia, and Luke Skywalker. But this week, I'm going to tell you that also Star Wars was about power. The power between good and evil, the power between being a Sith Lord and being a Jedi Master. Power. To do good or to do evil. Which is going to win in the end? Are the Sith going to win or are the Jedi going to win? This week we're talking about Star Wars number 3, which is Star Wars number 6 if you're watching the other way around. But Star Wars number 3 is about the revenge of the Sith, and it's where we see Anakin at the top there, Anakin Skywalker, decide what to do with his own power, to decide what to do with the power that is within him. There's been this whole thing going on in Revenge of the Sith about the Jedi and whether the Jedi are going to win or not. And throughout the movie, there's this order that gets sent out and execute number 66. And this takes out all of the Jedi, but 3 Jedi, if you include Anakin, Obi-Wan Kenobi, Yoda, and of course, Anakin. They're the only 3 Jedi left after that order goes down. And throughout this time, Anakin is wondering, going back and forth, wondering what he is to do with his power. And he's getting really kind of pent up and worried about what he's going to do with his anger. And he starts to go on some unorthodox paths for Jedi. He meets a girl, Padme Amidala. They fall in love. They get married, also not the way of being a Jedi. And then they have twins. That's in the next episode. But he's following some paths that are unorthodox. Even under the careful leadership of Obi-Wan, he continues to think about how he can get his power and show everybody else how powerful he is. He even says to his new wife at one point, "Hey, honey, I am going to have so much power." Which always goes down really well in the relationship, right? And so they're confused. He's a little confused about what he's going to do with his power. And the Chancellor Palpatine, starts looking at him and realizing that there's something in him that he could like win him over. And he woos him over to the dark side and says to him, why don't you become my apprentice and I can show you actually the ways of the dark side, which can help you emphasize and exercise your power in a more clearer way. And he woos him over. And Obi-Wan starts to recognize this And the chancellor becomes the Emperor Palpatine. And he says to him, you're going to be my apprentice, and your name is going to be Darth Vader. And Obi-Wan and Darth, they meet on this planet. And they meet on this planet which has got like volcanic rock everywhere. It's like a mining facility. And they have this like massive best friend fight. There's lightsabers and force pushers and droids that float around in the lava. And they fight each other with this like epic battle. Obi-Wan cannot believe what Anakin is doing with his power. And there's this epic showdown, and the bodies both land on this slope of volcanic rock. And in a classic line in this movie, Obi-Wan is like pleading for Anakin to do well with the power he's been given. And he says to him in the classic line, he says, "Anakin, give up. I have got the higher ground." Anakin, who's now Darth Vader, who is trying to rise up in this new like Sith kind of way. He's trying to be the all-powerful person that he knows he's meant to be. And he screams at Obi-Wan, "You underestimate my power." And he jumps over the top of him like a force jump kind of thing. And Obi-Wan takes him out and he lands in a big heap at the bottom of the hill. And Obi-Wan starts to cry. Obi-Wan starts to cry as what he's done with his power. And he screams at him, "You were supposed to defeat the Sith, not align with them." And he cries at the choice that Anakin has made. He cries because even though he's a Jedi, even though he has power, he also has the power of choice. Both Obi-Wan and Anakin Skywalker can choose to follow being a Sith or being a Jedi. We too have the power of choice. And we have the power to choose whom we align with daily and what we follow each week. And there was a battle of power in first century Israel as well. The most powerful people in the land at that time were the Romans, and they were occupying Jerusalem. Also were the other powerful people, the religious authorities, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes. They were the Jewish bishops, if you like. They were in charge of what was going on. And then there was this other group of people, just a small group, small band of people rising up out of Judaism, and they were the followers of the way, or Christians, people who followed Christ. And they were kind of a new group. They'd only been around for 3 years, and they were following Jesus, and there was some power coming out of it. So the Christians were within this group, the Jews, and the Jews were hated by the Romans, and the Jews hated the Christians. So kind of like the Christians were doubly hated. And these people were resisting the powers that were within. There's a lot of power struggles going on in Israel at this time. And Judas was following this guy, Jesus. Judas was following Jesus, but I don't know, he kind of wanted to see something a bit faster than what was going on. He wanted to see Jesus defeat the Romans and get this kind of battle done with. And so he goes to the powerful people. He goes to the Sith Lords, if you like, or the Pharisees and Sadducees. And he goes to them, and he hears through the grapevine, through the gossip mill, through the temple chatter, that actually they want Jesus. They want to arrest him. So Judas goes to these guys, to the Pharisees, to the bad guys, and says to them, "I can help you." And that's where we are today in the scripture. We're in Matthew chapter 26. If you've got your Bible with you, open it. There's one in front of you. If you're online, just open another tab there. Open it on your phone, if you've got it on your phone. Matthew 26. And we're in verse 14. So the plot is out. The plot to kill Jesus is out. Everybody knows it's looking for it. And Judas knows too. So Judas Iscariot, one of the 12 disciples, that's really important, one of the 12 disciples went to the leading priests and asked, "How much will you pay me to betray Jesus to you?" And they gave him 30 pieces of silver. And from that time on, Judas began looking for an opportunity to betray Jesus. So important note is that this is one of the 12, Judas Iscariot. There was other people called Judas. So this is a descriptor that this guy was a follower of the way. He was a Christian. He was one of the doubly hated people. And he went to the bad guys. He went to the Sith. He went to the opposition. He went to the Pharisees that wanted to arrest Jesus. And he went to him. He says, "Hey, guess what? I know Jesus. Like, I kind of hang around with him a lot. And, you know, I can get him for you. How much is in it for me? How much will you give me?" And they said, "Well, we'll give you 30 shekels, 30 pieces of silver. 30 shekels is about half a year's wages." So Jesus is like, "Okay, we'll do that." Now, I want you to remember this next verse. We're going to go back to this later. I want you to remember it. From that time on, Judas began looking for an opportunity to betray Jesus. So Judas is looking. He's looking for an opportunity. He's looking and searching for a place where he can hand over Jesus. That's an important point. So he's got his money. He's ready to make a choice. And it was the festival time. It was the time when the Jews celebrate Passover, when they remember that the angel of death passed over the Israelites, and they remember and celebrate this every year. Jesus would have grown up celebrating this with Joseph and Mary, his mother. But this one was particularly special. This was only the third one with his followers, the third and last one. And he gets to this point. This is verse 17. On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Where do you want us to prepare the Passover meal for you?" "As you go into the city," he told them, "you will see a man. Tell him, the teacher says, my time has come, and I will eat the Passover meal with my disciples at your house." So the disciples did as Jesus told them and prepared the Passover meal there. So this is the first time we hear about Jesus' power. We know we're getting ready for the festival. We know we're getting ready for this important meal. And this city, Jerusalem, you could only have Passover within the city walls. And of course, this Jerusalem was kicking because every Jew in the land was there to celebrate Passover. It was so busy. It was almost like Orlando on I-4 during the summer when every man, his dog is on 19, on US I-4, sorry, going up and down trying to find Universal Studios. Imagine it like that, but in a smaller city, packed with people looking for a place to celebrate Passover. So there was no room. So basically the disciples are saying to Jesus, "Hey, Jesus, there is no room at the inn." And so they say to him, "What do you want us to do?" He says, "As you go into the city, see this one man, and I'm going to give you a password." Yes, Jesus had a password. How many of you have a password? Everybody has a password. You all have passwords, whether you like them or not. Who forgets them? Yeah, oh my gosh, yeah. Type in your password, go back to your email the password. Okay, check, redo it. Jesus had a password. Here's the password. You ready? The password for Jesus was, "My time has come, and I will eat the Passover meal with my disciples at your house." That was the password. That's what the two disciples who went ahead had to say. They would go to this man, and they'd say these words. And these words had power. These words had power. And sure enough, because it took a long time to put together, they put this meal together all afternoon and waited till evening before Jesus would be with them and the rest of the disciples to get ready for the Passover meal. So that's really important. Jesus had power with his Passover. So the disciples did as Jesus told them, prepare the Passover meal. So they're all sitting there, getting ready to go. While it was evening, Jesus sat down at the table with the 12. This is verse 20. While they were eating, he said, I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me. Greatly distressed, each one of them asked in turn, am I the one, Lord? Am I the one that's going to betray you? He replied, one of you who has just eaten from this bowl with me will betray me. For the Son of Man must die as the scriptures declared long ago. But how terrible it will be for the one who betrays him. It would be far better for that man if he had never been born. Judas, the one who would betray him, also asked, Rabbi, am I the one? And Jesus told him, you have said it. So Jesus sat down to be with the 12 to have a meal. It wasn't just any old meal. It was the Passover meal. The Passover meal where they celebrated together. And it was a big deal. And they got together to have this really important meal. And as they got together, Jesus comes up with this like big old clangor. One of you is going to betray me. And by implication, this anybody there at the table could have chose to do this. One of you is going to betray me. Now, I don't know whether what was going on at the table and what the dynamics were. It wasn't this long table that we see in the paintings. It was kind of a square thing, and they were reclining on one elbow eating. I don't know whether Jesus was eating, and as he was eating, he points with his bread. You know, you ever do that, and you're talking, you're eating, you point with your bread. Or he just looked at Judas right in the eye. Because Judas all of a sudden says, is it me? And Jesus knew that Judas knew that Jesus knew. Jesus knew that Judas knew that Jesus knew. And he says to him, go ahead. You have got the choice. You've got the choice to do this. You've already chosen to do it. Jesus knew that he was going to do it. But I'm going to give you an opportunity. It's like I'm going to scream at you, Anakin, I have the higher ground. It's like he's going to scream at him and say to him, hey, even though you've made this choice, take, eat. This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. This is my blood of the new covenant. And they had communion together around the tables in the upper room. I'm going to give you an opportunity, says Jesus to Judas. And still, Judas makes a choice. You have the power of choice. Judas had the power to stop doing what he was doing, and he struggled with what was going on in his head. He struggled with whether to appease the Pharisees and risk being killed by the Pharisees or dobbing in Jesus and having a bit of money. It really wasn't a lot of money, right? Half a year's wages to make the greatest sin in the entire world. But he had a choice. He had a power. And even though God is omniscient, he knows everything that's going on, even though God is omnipotent, always around, even though he is omnipresent, he's present here with us, here in this place, he was present at the table, even though he was present there, he didn't all of a sudden stop and say, Judas, I never seen that coming. He never said that. He knew what was going on in Judas' head. He knew that Judas was considering the kind of pain of mental health of whom to appease and what to do, whether to go the way of the Sith Lord or whether to go the way of the Jedi. He was confused whether he was going to really follow this Jesus guy. I mean, he just wasn't being the powerful person he wanted him to be. God knew that Judas was going to do it. But still, he had power. And you have that same power to choose. You have that same power to choose to follow the Jedi way, which is the narrow way, but the way that leads to righteousness, or the wide way, the Sith way is easy when it starts off, but leads to destruction. And you have a choice, the power of choice, who you follow. You have the power to impact people mentally. You have the power to impact people with the emotional way you respond to people, which can affect your relationships. And you have the power by just your words to impact people physically. Each and every one of you has power. And for some strange reason, even though God is omniscient, even though he's omnipresent, even though he's omnipotent, he still gives us the power of choice. Amen? Each and every one of us, for some reason, has been given this choice. And what happens with Judas's choice? What happens with his choice? Even as Jesus said this, this is after the garden of Gethsemane, after he said to them, wait for me. Even as Jesus said, pay attention, here comes my betrayer. Judas, one of the 12, arrives with a crowd of men armed with swords and clubs. They've been sent by the leading priests and the elders of the people. The traitor, Judas, had given them a prearranged signal. You will know which one to arrest when I greet him with a kiss. So Judas came straight to Jesus. Greetings, Rabbi, he exclaimed, and gave him the kiss. Jesus said, my friend, go ahead and do what you have come for. Then the others grabbed Jesus and arrested him. In the other gospel, when it's talking about this story, it says Jesus walked up to them, and the people who arrested him said to him, you know, what's your name? Are you Jesus of Nazareth? Are you the one that we've been talking about? And Jesus says, I am he. He actually said, I am he in Greek. He says, I am he. And as he said these words, boom, everybody fell over. It's in John's gospel. Everybody fell over and they got up and arrested him because Jesus knew that. How about that for power? How about that for power? He didn't need a lightsaber. He didn't need the clubs and swords. He just said something. He just said something with words. And then Judas decides later on in the scripture. Later on, Judas, he goes back to the priest and says, I'm full of sorrow. I can't believe what I did. I'm full of shame. I don't really realize what I did. And I've dubbed Jesus in. I'm sad. I kissed him and I gave him over to you. And here's the money back. The priest is like, we don't care. And Judas, realizing that, he had no friends. He had no power. He had no power over at the Sith Lord table. He had no power back at the Jedi table. He had no power and no friends. And he decides to choose to take his own life. Some of you know people who have chose to take their own life. Some of you know people who are contemplating it. Some of you know people who have a severe mental health problem and they don't think their life is worthy on this earth. Send them to me and send them to Pastor Kathy. Call 988 immediately if you're in pain. And let us know if you know people who are. We can connect you with counselors. But you all have power. You have the power to choose. You have the power to choose to follow government officials, great leaders, great people in power, but I want you to choose to follow the greatest power in the world that we sang about, that we rejoiced about, that we clapped about, and that power is the power of Jesus, amen? Gracious and Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus Christ, the one who came to save us and set us free, you powerful Holy Spirit, fill our hearts and minds today. May we recognize your power in our lives. May we recognize that power around us. And may we show others that power in our lives. Show us, Lord, how to choose to follow you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.